The reading is from Matthew 15, verses 29 to 39. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee. And having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others. And they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marvelled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. The disciples said to him, Where would we go to get so many loaves in this desolate place to satisfy such a large crowd? And Jesus said to them, How many loaves do you have? They said, 7 and a few small fish. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 7 large baskets full. And those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And sending away the crowds, Jesus got into the boat and came to the region of Magadan. Father, I thank you for all that you've put in Debbie's heart. And Lord, I thank you that as she has come to you with what she has, Lord, we ask that you would bless it as she shares it with us. Lord, that you would feed us and that we would come away knowing that we have heard from you and been satisfied. Just pour out your spirit on her and on us that we might receive what you have to give us. Amen.
Good morning. I don't know if any of you thought that this story, this passage that we've just heard read to us, sounds a bit familiar. Anyone thought it sounded a bit familiar? If you can remember a couple of chapters ago, there was a pretty similar experience that people had with Jesus, wasn't there? What was it? Very good, Denise, yes. Very good, Leslie. The feeding of the 5,000. But here today, we're looking at the feeding of the 4,000. Anybody ever feel like in their Christian life, oh yeah, I've been here before? Anyone ever feel a bit like, uh-oh, we're in that circuit again, encountering that similar thing? Anyone ever feel like we go to the meeting and we know exactly what's going to happen next? There are elements of this story that look very similar to the last one. But you know, this morning, as I was praying about our time together, as I was praying about this passage, this morning I felt that the Lord wanted to say to us, get deeper with Jesus. Find a deeper life with Jesus. Because yes, in the rhythm of things, we go over some similar ground sometimes. And we come to a meeting and it might feel a bit like the one before. And that there are elements that seem to repeat themselves, and there's stuff that we expect, and it happens just as we expect. And there are those kinds of experiences and those kinds of moments in our life with God. But actually, for those who are looking closer, there's an opportunity to go deeper every single time. This story is not the same as the one before. This story is not trying to teach the disciples the same things as the first time around with the 5,000. This story is not trying to do the same miracle for the people that it was Jesus was doing the first time around. And if we will look closely If we will have in our hearts, if we will have in our lives a desire to go deeper with Jesus, not just to be the same with him as we were last week and the week before and the year before and the year before that, so that we never really move on, we never really see much change in our lives, we never really see ourselves and our relationship with Jesus growing and changing and developing. All of us know that the people that we know for years and years and years in our lives, our relationships with them change over time. It's not the same as the day you first met your best friend or your husband or your wife or whoever it is. Your relationship doesn't stay in the same dynamic as it did that first nervous date that you had with so-and-so or whatever. It doesn't stay there. As the days go on, as the years go on, we're expecting, aren't we, that we will know that person better, that there's a depth to the relationship, that the way we relate changes, that things start to click into place that weren't there before, that there's new things that you're discovering all the time. It should be that way in our relationship with Jesus, but sometimes we let it be just the same as it was a couple of chapters ago, just the same as it was last week. And when we do that, it's we who are missing out on an opportunity to get deeper. And as we look at this story and think about it a little bit deeper perhaps today, what's really on my heart is that I think the Lord is calling us as a congregation at the moment to get deeper with Jesus and to grow in prayer. Because really those two things are kind of the same, aren't they? To grow in prayer, talking to the Lord and hearing things back from him and seeing answers breaking out from our lives around. I think the Lord is calling us to that at this time. He wants us to grow in maturity in our relationship with Jesus. He doesn't want us to be going through the same old motions of our faith. He doesn't want us to be the same as we were last year. He wants us to move on and to grow on and to change, because our God is a God who touches things. And when he touches things, they are transformed. There's something different about them. I was remembering a lady many years ago now who became a Christian. And when she gave her life to the Lord, it was amazing. She prayed and she asked Jesus into her life. And she started to come to church regularly and she was worshipping. And she told us, we could all see it happening actually, but she told us very specifically that a few weeks into her new journey with Jesus, she'd met up with a really old friend who hadn't seen her for years. And that friend could barely recognize her. And they said to her, you look different. There's something different about you. You look completely different. And we could see it happening too. And she could see it when she looked in the mirror. Because when God touches things, they change. They don't stay the same. Sometimes you can see that physically happening on a person's face. The work of God is going deeper inside of them. And it's really important that we are Christians who want to grow and be transformed and let God keep touching us and let the Lord keep reaching deeper into our hearts and lives and who we are. It's really, really important, because a massive part of our calling, you and me as God's people, is to be a people who know our God and who know how to get answers to prayer to share with the world. Did you know that? That is actually part of our identity as the people of God. It's a part of our definition. It is what it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. It isn't simply sit and get blessed at a regular interval in a meeting or elsewhere. It is to be someone who knows Jesus better than the day before and starts to understand more and more and more about how to move in the realms where Jesus moves. And Jesus is seated in the heavenly places and he's got the rest of the world and the principalities and the powers under his feet, and he is in the heavenly realms and he is in the supernatural places. So if we are starting to get to know him better, we are going to be more able to move into that realm and take hold of what is there and made available for us in Christ and start to serve it out to the world, just like we see Jesus doing In this passage, with a crowd of 4,000 hungry people, he reaches into his Father's heavenly kingdom and he draws down supernatural resource for those people and he releases it from his life. And Jesus says to us, that is who you are called to be. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Jesus says, I chose you, disciples, and I have appointed you to bear fruit, so that whatever you ask in my name, my Father will do for you. So what is the fruit of our lives that we're meant to bear? Answers to prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, Father is going to do. That is a part of our definition, our calling, our DNA, our raison d'etre, our reason for being a Christian. That is a part. It's right at the heart of it. How many of us here know that we get answers to our prayers? Yes, amen. That's a good sign, isn't it? It's a good thing. And I was really encouraged by the testimonies earlier because that is what people were talking about. Prayers that have been prayed and answers that were coming up. Sometimes very explicit prayers that were being prayed. Like for the young lady that Lorna was talking about. And it's wonderful to hear, isn't it, that when we call on the Lord, he starts to move. He acts. He does things. And I was going to get people, but we've already had some testimonies. But I was going to challenge you and say, come on, let's have some people stand up and just in a couple of sentences share their answers to prayer. You know, I prayed this and God did this. I prayed this and Jesus worked in this way. And I know we could do that and I would get more testimonies like that. But we need to be a people who are moving and rising and growing in faith all the time, that we know how to get answers to prayer. Because your life is not just about you. And your concerns. We, of course, God is concerned about that. But actually, the very first thing that God says to Abraham all those years ago in the Old Testament, when he starts to talk about calling a people into being that he will call his own, a people that will belong to him, the people of Israel, and Abraham was going to father this nation. What God said to him about it was, the whole reason I'm doing this is, Abraham, I want to bless you. And I want to make you a blessing to the entire world. And then he said to Israel as they grew as a nation, I want to bless you, Israel, so that you can be a blessing to the entire world. And Jesus is saying the same thing to us here today. Ichthus Forest Hill, individuals in it, with your concerns, with your desires, with your prayer requests, with the things that you're asking him to do in your home and your family and your workplace and your body and all sorts of other places that concern you. Wonderful. I want to bless you. I want to answer those prayers. But I want you to be somebody who knows how to get answers for the world as well. And start to feed the hungry people around you. That is what you're called to. That is what God has got on his heart for you. And there's a lot of hungry people, aren't there, in our world today. And I wonder if part of the problem is that the church has been happy or comfortable too long to just feed ourselves with our own resources. Yeah? So like have nice meetings, because you can have nice meetings without any supernatural help at all. Did you know that? You know the atheists have a church, some of them, that they go to. Some of them have this crazy thing called the atheist church, and they sing songs and they feel better for it. Yeah, because you do. When you sing songs, you feel better. And they sing pop songs and they feel better. And they hear talks and they learn new things that are really, really interesting, like about science and the planets and the world and so on. I don't know if you know this, I'm talking truth. Yeah, there is really an atheist church that exists. Yeah, you've read about it. And, you know, that's great, and it stimulates their imagination. It fires their intellect. They enjoy it. Yeah, you can have a nice time without any supernatural element to it whatsoever. We can do that as the church. God forbid that we should do it, but we can do it if we forget who we're called to be. Don't just feed ourselves with our own resources. And we don't just do the stuff that we know we can do that makes life go a bit better. Okay, that's good. But let's call upon God. Let's get his supernatural intervention into our lives and into the lives of those around us, because there's a lot of hungry people in the world out there. And there's a church that feels kind of comfortable and satisfied with where it's at half the time, because we've forgotten that we were always called to be blessed and to be a blessing, to get answers to prayer for our own needs, so that we can come with greater faith when we're confronted with somebody with a need far, far, far greater than anything we've ever encountered, and we sit there and we feel overwhelmed by it, and we think, how can I ever do anything to help this person as they share their need with me? What possible thing can I do? What possible word can I say? What possible action can I take that would ever change this? It's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too massive. And God says, yeah, but you're someone who knows how to get answers, aren't you? Call upon me. I'm the person who's got resources for this situation. Come to me, find them, and you'll soon find they can flow out of your life and into the lives of others. Our Father hears us when we pray. Do we know that? And when we pray for others, we can see his power moving into those situations. Do we know that? It's the truth, and it should be more and more and more the normal, every day, every second, every hour experience of our lives. Yeah? I am someone who gets answers from God. Here's a problem, I know who to go to. Here's a situation, I know where to find help for that. Here's a problem, here's a need, here's a hunger, I know how to feed that. Not because I've got anything, but he's got everything. And I've found how to get it for me, and I know how to get it for you. You know, Jesus does this miracle, this similar miracle, twice, to teach the disciples exactly this. In part, what's the difference between, what's one of the differences between the 5,000 and the 4,000? Huh? The numbers of people, yeah? Yeah, there's a bit of a difference in how they find the food, but what about at the end of the story? Yeah, they're all fed, that's the same in both. How many baskets? Clues. Ah, yeah, here we go. 7 baskets for the 4,000 of leftovers and 12 baskets of leftovers for the 5,000. What's that all about? Well, you know that numbers in the Bible are quite symbolic, don't you? And Jesus was speaking to them. You know, whenever 12 comes up in the Bible, it's almost always to do with the people of Israel, the 12 tribes. It shows us the people of God symbolically. And in that first miracle, Jesus was saying to them, along with lots of other things, I know how to meet your needs, disciples. 1 basketful each. I know how to meet the needs of my people, Israel. 12 baskets for the 12 tribes. I'm going to provide and bless my people as they follow me. And then we come to this story, and all of a sudden, 7 loaves that feed, and 7 baskets that are left over. And 7 in the Bible, it's a number of completion. It's a number of wholeness. It's often a number, especially in the book of Revelation, that's looking at the whole of creation and the whole universe together. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, okay, I met your needs first time round. Now don't forget about the world. Here's 7 baskets for the world, for the nations, for the entire universe that I've created. This provision goes further than just you 12 tribes. This provision goes to the ends of the earth. If you look closer, Jesus is growing them, teaching them, challenging them. He's just met, last week you were hearing from David, he's just met with a Syrophoenician woman, a woman from outside of the people of Israel. And he's seen faith in her, and he's done a miracle for her, and he's reached out to her. And other people were surprised and shocked and confused by the whole experience. And Jesus is saying, yeah, but your blessing is not just for you. Your life is not just about you. God loves you. Jesus is committed to you. He wants to meet you in your concerns. He's going to provide for you. He's going to give you answers so that you can look to the world, so that you can take it out further, so that the whole universe can be touched and met with the blessing of God. That's our job. That's our calling. So our prayers and the actions that flow from our prayers are going to help us to find blessing, not just for us, but for the whole world. And if we want to learn how, then we're going to need to get a bit deeper with Jesus. And I'm just going to pick out four things in this story that show us how to get deeper with Jesus, how to go deeper in our prayer lives, how to grow in moving into the realm where Jesus is, the realm of supernatural resource. Look at verse 29. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. Doesn't sound like a really dramatic, life-changing verse, does it? But it's really important because it's really different from the way that he began his miracle last time round, the feeding of the 5,000. It's a really different context. You see, last time, he'd just heard about the news of John the Baptist's beheading, and Jesus was trying to escape from the crowds to go and grieve and be alone in a place with his disciples. And so, you know, he jumps into the boat, but somehow all the crowds, they hear where he's going, and they all sort of run round the shore, and they end up on the other side, and they're there to meet him when he steps out off the boat again. And that's the context into which he feeds the 5,000. This time it's a bit different. He's been out of the country, and he's coming back into his home territory again, back in amongst the people of God. And he deliberately walks, it says, down by the Sea of Galilee. That's like walking through the marketplace, walking down the high street, walking in the place where everyone was going to see him. But he's not stopping there to meet them. It was the seashore that he met the 5,000 on. But he doesn't decide to do something then and there. He's just walking by. He's just passing through. He's just moving along. But everybody saw him. Oh, Jesus is back in town. Oh yeah, there's Jesus. And all the guys out in their fishing boats and all the ones sorting out their nets and whatever else the people are doing, they saw him, but he wasn't stopping. And then it says, he went on up the mountain and sat down there and waited. Let's see who's going to come and find me up here, where there's a bit of a journey, it's a bit of effort, bit cold, a bit desolate, as it says later on. Who's going to come and find me up here? They've all seen me walk through. They know where I've gone. Who's coming after me? It's different. First time he turns up, there's a ready-made crowd and he meets their needs. This time he walks through the crowd, doesn't stop there, goes up the mountain and says, who's coming? If we want to get deeper with Jesus, we're going to have to pursue him. You see, he does meet us where we're at, just like he did first time round, but it shouldn't be like the first time round every time round. It's not meant to, meant to grow, meant to change, meant to mature, meant to start to put some effort into this relationship for ourselves. We need to go and find him. Where is Jesus? And what is he doing? And why does he want me to follow him up there? And what's going to happen if I do go and find him? But it requires a decision, doesn't it? It requires a deliberate decision to leave the concerns of the shore and to go on up the mountain. We have to leave some stuff behind. We have to make some time. We have to put some things in place, maybe. You know, get someone to look after the kids or bring the kids with you. Make a packed lunch, whatever it's going to be. But you've got to do something. Deliberately decide, I'm going to go after Jesus. Because you see, in our lives, we find that we do catch glimpses of Jesus sometimes. We see that he's moving. We see that he's doing something. And some of us, we just wait, sat in the same place for that moment all the time. That's, we're just sort of waiting for that. Oh, it was really brilliant when I saw Jesus walking along the shore there. He waved at me, you know, it was great. I'll just wait for him to do that. He'll be back soon from the mountain, whatever he's doing up there. I'll just sit down here. I'll just wait for him to come. Oh, it's so brilliant when I see Jesus. Hello, hello. But you know, we live our Christian lives like that sometimes. And Jesus is saying, some people came and found me. They pursued me. They put some effort in. They walked a journey. They sought me. And then they found some incredible stuff started to happen. They learnt some things that they could carry back down. And it's so important when we get a glimpse of the Lord moving that we pursue him, that we go after him, that we find out more about what he's doing. There's a brilliant story about Keith Green, who's, you know, one of my heroes of the faith in many ways. A songwriter, many of you know, who actually wrote the song "There Is a Redeemer" that we sang, well, his wife did and he helped, that we sang earlier on. There's a brilliant part of his testimony where he talks about how he suddenly just got so hungry for the Lord, and he decided he was just going to lock himself in his bedroom until he met with the Lord in a powerful way. He was feeling dry, he was feeling empty, he was feeling like he was not connecting with God. Anyone ever feel like that here? Yeah, we do. We don't always do what Keith did. And he literally made a vow. I'm not saying everyone should necessarily do this. But he made a vow to himself and said, I am not leaving this bedroom until I've met with the Lord. Till I know that he's encountered me. That I know that he's broken into this, whatever's going on in my heart. And he was in there for days. And his wife was really, really worried about him. And there were sort of days of this wrestling, this spiritual wrestling. And he still felt distant. And he still felt he hadn't met with the Lord until finally, suddenly, God's love broke through in his life. And he felt filled up again. And it was this experience. It's not that God was withholding himself from him. It's he was saying, pursue me, find me more, find me deeper. Don't be satisfied with what you've already got. Push a bit harder, walk a bit further, come up the mountain. You know, Faith often mentions how the old days of the Pentecostal church, they would have waiting meetings to receive the Holy Spirit. And she said they had no end time. They would just stay until every person had been filled with the Holy Spirit, till every person had had that encounter. And for some, it took hours and hours and hours, far into the night. And for others, it was quick, immediate. But there's something about the pursuit of the Lord that yields blessing, that yields fruitfulness, that yields answers that some of us are too impatient, we miss. Second thing, get deeper. Verse 30, by bringing others to him. Look what it says. Large crowds came to Jesus, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. That crowds came to Jesus, but they also brought others with them, people who couldn't get there for themselves. And these were the most disadvantaged people in their society, the utterly ostracized and marginalized. They really could not engage in normal interactions of life in any way, entirely dependent on others for their lives and livelihood. And there's an interesting thing in the language here in the Greek. If you read this passage in the original language, where it says they laid them down at his feet, it's an unusual word that's used, hrypto, if you like Greek, and it literally means to kind of toss somebody down. And it says, you know, often with the implication of kind of carelessness. Right? And I think, and it also goes together with when you're carrying a really heavy burden and you've just like struggled so far with it, you just got to let it go down, you know? It's not a deliberate placing. It's not a careful positioning. It's a, you know, heaving it down there. This is how it was, because this is how it would have been. Imagine, you know, you've got your friend who can't walk and you've got to climb a mountain to get him to Jesus. Well, that's going to be some hard work. He's going to be on your back or on a stretcher between the four of you. It's going to be hard and sweaty and difficult. And you're going to be really glad when you finally struggle your way to that top and you see Jesus and you think, finally, I can put this down. And I think that's what the word is meant to show us. Yeah? They dropped them at Jesus' feet because they literally couldn't carry them any further. Because there's something that helps us to grow when we learn how to bring other people to Jesus. And it can be hard work. In prayer, We carry people in our hearts, don't we? They can feel like heavy burdens, just like on this picture. I like this picture. Apparently these are like great rivals in some American half marathon. And she picked up her friend and carried her over the finish line because she got injured. And it can feel like a heavy burden sometimes when we're praying for people, when we've got others' needs on our hearts and we bring them to the Lord. And some of us don't really make a lot of effort to do that very often. Have you ever carried anyone like that as a prayer burden? Just kept bringing them to the Lord so much and so fervently that eventually you just have to kind of drop them there and say, Lord, I can't carry this anymore. It's too big, it's too difficult, it's too heavy. I just need to just leave them at your feet now. Lord, please step in. You know, in your Christian life, if you've never prayed for anybody else like that, think about it. Pick somebody up in prayer and start to bring them to the Lord. There's a whole place of maturing and breakthrough that you will encounter when you carry somebody else into the Lord's presence in prayer with you. You will grow. You will change. Your relationship with Jesus, your understanding of who he is, will grow and flourish. There's a brilliant testimony that I heard Jonathan Comrath, who spoken at Revive and things in the past, he gave about when he was a young Christian. He was a young man, I think, in his teens or 20s. And he and his best friend were worried about Jonathan's brother, who was not doing well with the Lord at the time, or he'd walked away from his faith. And Jonathan and his best friend, who was also a Christian, they decided to just sit down one night and they were going to pray for John's brother. And they started to pray and they prayed and they prayed. And he gave this testimony at Revive a few years ago. And he said they prayed so hard and the hours went by and they kept on praying and they just kept on praying because they were so burdened for this guy and for the direction that his life was taking. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed until finally, sort of in the early hours of the morning, they suddenly sort of felt like, oh, it's done. We've dropped him at the feet of Jesus. We've got him there. Now it's up to you, Lord. You know, it's okay. He's with you. And they both went back to their beds. And the next day, John heard from his brother, and his brother said, you know, it's a funny thing happened last night. You know, suddenly I was woken up by this kind of conviction of the Lord upon me, and I know I need to get my life straight. I know I need to get my life right with God. Will you help me? Will you pray with me? Will you give me some help and instruction? And he came right back to the faith again. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It takes some effort. It takes some hard work in prayer. But you know, if you've never tasted that joy of seeing that person come through, land at the feet of Jesus and find everything that they're looking for, then you need to push into that. Get a bit deeper with Jesus. Pick some people up into your prayer life and carry them somewhere. Third thing, we get deeper with Jesus, verse 32. By being sent out full. And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel compassion for the people because they've remained with me now 3 days and they have nothing to eat, and I do not want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way. You know, there's a few things about that that's important to get hold of. I don't know if you've ever been in a meeting and the presence of God is there and you just kind of want to stay there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and you don't want to go back to whatever your life looks like outside of there. Or you go to Revive and you have this amazing week, you know, God's there and it's all happening. And then you think, oh, I've got to go home, I've got to go back to work. But the thing is, we always have to. We always do have to be sent back out, because remember who we are? We're the people who know how to get answers to feed the others, to feed hungry people. We've got to go back out, but we've got to go back out full. We can't spend our whole lives huddled away in a nice holy bubble, because Jesus sends us out, but he always fills us first. And you see, I think a lot of us have problems one way or the other. We either want to stay in the meeting forever and kind of get so full we're about to explode. Or we kind of come and then we dash away and we don't really get filled. We don't take the opportunity. We don't stay until Jesus has done the filling work. or we miss out altogether, we don't come to him. And then we try to sort of limp through our Christian life and we faint on the way. We're tired and we're under-resourced. Why? Because we haven't gone to Jesus. Because do you know what? Jesus is very, very, very concerned not to send the people away empty and hungry. Do you hear that in this passage? And he is the same with you. That is no different from you. If you feel empty and hungry, it is not because Jesus decided not to feed you today. It is not. It is not. He says, I'm going to send away the crowds, but not until I fed them. And he does feed. It took him 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. Some of those people had given up already. They'd run down the mountain to get their roast dinner from whoever was back at home. Yes. But others, they waited, they stayed, and then they got fed. And then they knew, okay, it's time to go now. And Jesus said, bye. See ya, I'll send you away now. Go back to your homes, go back to your lives, take what I fed you with and do something with it. And you know, that is the healthy way to live. That is healthy for any human body. You can't pump the human body full of food forever and ever and ever and never expend it. That is unhealthy. You can't starve the human body of food and never give it any nourishment at all and expect to still be effective and functional in the life that you lead. You can't do it. We're meant to come and be fed. We're meant to have periods where we do feel hungry, where we get hungry and then we get satisfied. And that rhythm helps us. It helps us to remember, to come to the Lord, to receive his fullness, to go back out, to expend that energy in his work, to come back to the Lord, to receive his fullness, to go back into the world and see his power released through our lives. That is the rhythm that we're meant to do. And finally, we've got to get deeper with the Lord by learning how to find that miraculous provision. And I want to leave us with these thoughts from verses 35 and 36. It says, Jesus directed the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, he broke them and started giving them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. Miraculous provision, hungry people fed, an enormous need being met by the supernatural power of God. And I love the fact that it begins with Jesus says he got the people sitting down. Why did he get the people sitting down? Well, they could all see what was going to happen next, couldn't they? It's a good audience now. Lots of other reasons too, I'm sure. But he wanted them to watch and see what he would do. He wanted them to watch and to learn, because we can learn from this story how to get hold of supernatural provision for our huge needs too. He wanted them to have a good view and he wanted them to learn something. And then he gave them a step-by-step workshop, as I see it, so that they would know what to do when they have a huge need and no possible way of meeting it for yourselves. Jesus was saying, here's what you do. Learn from me, watch me, here's what you do, guys. It's a very simple strategy. I'll share it with you. 2 steps to it. We can all remember it. Number one, when you've got a huge need, no way of meeting it, give thanks for what you do have. Step one, pick up that bread. He didn't snaffle it away to his disciples and say, okay, look, guys, there's a really big need out there. We're going to need all the energy we can get. Let's just eat this now and then wait for the bread to fall down from the sky. No. Gave thanks for what he had. He got those 7 loaves that were there and gave thanks for it. With a genuine heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, you've given us something. Or so many of us, we can't do that in our lives. Find it so hard. We say, Lord, I thought you wanted to bless me. This is never going to be enough. Lord, why haven't you answered my prayer? Why haven't you done what I wanted you to do? This is not going to go very far, is it? What is the point of this that I've got in my hands? That's more familiar to so many of us. Lord, why have you blessed so-and-so with all those things and I don't have? No, Jesus says that's not the way to get miraculous provision. You give thanks, genuine thanks for what you have. Jesus said, thank you, Father. Look at these loaves. Aren't they beautiful? Look at these little fish. Bet they're tasty. Thank you, Father, for what you've given. And then step two, share it with others in faith. Don't just snaffle it for yourselves and stuff your face with it. Oh, well, I've got this tiny bit, so I'll just make do on that. No. You take it. You look at the need. You thank God for what you have, and then you use that. You share it. You bless others. You release it to others. You let it go. You push it away. And you do it in faith, expecting that that miraculous provision is going to come and meet the whole of that need. You know, you need a different house, or you need a bigger house, and you're asking the Lord and you're praying about it. You give thanks for the one that you've got, and then you open up that house and you share it with other people who have even less than you do, who don't have a home at all, or who need somewhere to go and have a coffee every now and then, or who want to come and, you know, I don't know, walk your dog, or whatever it might be. You do it, you open it up and you use it, you share it, you give it away to other people instead of sitting there thinking, this is much too small for everything I want to do with it. No, thank the Lord and use it, share it, open it, give it. You know, you need a better relationship with somebody. You're praying about that need. And instead of being frustrated about all the things that are wrong and difficult and not working in this whole thing, you say, thank you, God. Thank you for what I do have in this person. Thank you for what we do have between us. And you know what? I'm going to share that. Instead of always just unpacking all of the negatives about this, I'm going to share what is good. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to tell them when I'm blessed by them. I'm going to affirm the good things. I'm going to live in that by faith and know that you are going to come and break through in this and help us to relate better and better and better and better. I remember when I was a young Christian and I needed a better car because mine was always breaking down. I needed it. And I was so grateful to God for this little broken down banger that I used to drive. And I remember I promised the Lord that I was going to always give other people a lift if they needed one. And I wouldn't ask for petrol money. It was my little kind of acknowledgement between me and God about the gift that I had, this car. You know, not everyone has a car, Lord, and it might break down and be a bit of a pain at times, but it's still a blessing and I'm going to use it to bless other people. And I remember that just at the right moment, at just at the right time, the Lord provided me with a car that I needed that was better and worked better and was bigger and helped me to do what I needed to do even better. And I knew that the Lord was saying, I'm going to honor that because you were grateful for what you did have and you shared it and you gave it. And that was my little exercise of heart before the Lord. You'll have hundreds of others as you sit there, but that's the way to get supernatural provision. And I just want to close at this point by thinking about those four things, because I think the Lord wants us to grow and get deeper. And I think he wants us to find more breakthrough, miraculous breakthrough and provision from our lives. And we can do it if we pursue him, if we start bringing others to him, if we are conscious that we're sent out by him full of his resources. And if we learn from him how to touch the miraculous, give thanks and share. Simple as that. And I wanted us just to close today. I don't know if Ben would mind, but I'm going to ask Ben to come and just play for us a song, because that will help us just to start to call on the Lord in these ways. And I was thinking we could sing, if you don't mind, Lord, We Come to Seek Your Face. That song. It's kind of a prayer song. And as we sing this song, I just want to invite all of us personally to come and to make a fresh commitment to know him better. To pray that we will pursue him. Maybe you want to use this opportunity to bring someone else to the Lord that you want to start praying for more determinedly, more consistently. Maybe you want to take this moment to consciously say, Lord, I need strength to go out into my week this week. I don't want to do it without your resources. Please come fill me. Please come fill up my battery. Send me out full. Maybe you want to ask him for a miraculous breakthrough, for a great need you know you can't meet. Let's call on him. Let's use this song to pray as we sing.